This must be said. Lee, I've been doing this podcast with you for 6 years. That is one of the smartest rants that I've ever heard you say on this program. Outstanding points from left to right. Extra fries, please. Yay.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Bodywork, service, whatever it is, GM Sean Sullivan is going to help you personally, give you that Ira Kaufman discount. And of course, you can order a brand new vehicle right at BillCurryFord.com. No deposit. And Sean is going to give you $150 in gift cards just for the sake of ordering your vehicle. Of course, he will help you any possible way. Reach out. He's the draft guru at JoeBucksFan.com. You can catch his podcast, Best in Class. He's got a lot of strong opinions. That's Sean Sullivan when it comes to football. And we love him, and he wants to talk ball with you and sell you a vehicle. Don't forget their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, Bill Curry Ford. And Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. They've got tap rooms where you can go and sample all the fantastic Big Storm beers and enjoy a great meal. Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, and Clearwater, the flagship location on 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton, as well as in Odessa, right off State Road 54. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call, if you have any sort of disaster at your home and your business, floridaselite restoration.com. Sage, a lot going on. The crazy ship keeps on rolling. So I got to ask you how you're doing. Well, I'm here with Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan. How's the diet going? And of course, you've been talking to another executive to get background on Todd Bowles. And this one is pretty interesting, Ira. So how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, gents. You know, I've been a little bit fascinated about Bowles' tenure with the Jets. I mean, he did have 4 years. It's not like he had 2 years. And it was unsuccessful. I mean, it was. He averaged 6 wins. He had a really good first season, kind of like what happened with the Bucs with Dirk Cutter. I mean, he had a good first season in 2016. Cutter did. And then it kind of all went downhill. So I've been fascinated with that. One thing we'll talk about later, Lee, is more descriptions of Brady's dalliance, supposedly, with the Dolphins. If I read our stories with any more details, fabricated or not, I'm thinking we got a Netflix movie coming out of this with yachts and millionaires and billionaires. So we'll get to that later. But Steve's right. You know, in my search for an assessment on Todd Bowles in his first time around as a head coach, I talked to Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf, who happened to oversee the first draft in Buccaneer history in 1976. And yes, he's the guy that picked Leroy Selman as the first pick in Buck history. And then he kind of got run off after 2 years because he got into a dispute with Hugh Culverhouse, which to me adds to the Ron Wolf legend. And then he went back to the Raiders where he had worked with Al Davis before. So Lee, the guy's in the Hall of Fame as an executive. He built the Packers into a league power with Brett Favre in the early 90s. Lee worked 2 decades under Al Davis, and Lee, you know enough about it. I think you agree with me. You don't last 2 decades with Al Davis by being a flunky. That ain't going to happen. And he was kind of Davis's right-hand man. 2 different stints, 20 years total. I mean, that's impressive. So Lee, I looked it up, and I see that maybe a year or two after Bowles retired, he retired after 93 seasons.
Wolf.
Ron Wolf hired Bowles in Green Bay in 1995 as a scout. And Bowles spent 2 years with the Packers during their glory years. And I believe he got a ring in 96. It was 95 and 96. I believe the 96 Packers won the Super Bowl. I assume Bowles got a ring out of it. He spent 2 years there, and then Doug Williams talked him into going to Moorhead College as his defensive coordinator. And that started his coaching career. So Wolf got to know him in the mid-90s as a scout. Guys, 20 years later, the Jets are looking for a GM and a head coach, and they hire Wolf and Charlie Casserly as consultants in this search. So Cassily recommends this guy, Mike McConaughey, as the GM. He gets the job, and Cassily knew him from the Texans.
Ira, it's McCagnan, but you can keep saying McConaughey. Go for it.
He turned out to be a disaster, Lee. Mm-hmm. Terrible job. Terrible general manager. Terrible. And Wolf kept talking, pounding the table for Bowles to get that job. And he got it. And so talking to Wolf today, you know, he was a little surprised that Bowles wasn't successful. But Lee, it became clear he didn't want to be quoted. And, you know, he's no fan of McConaughey. He's not.
Who is?
who is? He's the guy who took a guy named Christian Hackenberg,
yep.
Quarterback,
Penn State
in the second
quarterback,
round.
Yep.
Steve, he never took a snap in the NFL. He was out of the league at 23. He never played a game in the NFL. He went to three other teams, and he never played a game. To be fair, it's the 2016 draft. He was the 51st guy taken, seven spots ahead of Roberto Aguayo. So, you know, let's take a little perspective here. McConaughey's not the only, GM who screwed up in that 2016 draft, which I think is Jason Light's biggest regret. That 2016 draft, it was just an absolute zero. But he did not help Todd Bowles. Bowles got fired after the last game of 2018 when he lost 38-3 at New England with Brady throwing four touchdowns. They kept McConaughey on lead. They let him run the draft in 2019. I mean, that's how dysfunctional the Jets are. So talking to Wolf about the second time around for Bowles, I mean, obviously he's got Brady. And he's got Jason Light. Lee, Jason Light, he's on a hot streak.
Oh, yeah.
And oh, and it goes beyond Tom Brady. I mean, he's made good draft picks. He's made some smart free agent pickups. And he's a hell of a lot better than he was 5 years ago. So Ron Wolf is very confident that Bowles is going to succeed. He kind of discounts those 4 years with the Jets. Kind of, you know, Lee, as Joel Glazer told me, sometimes it's the hand you're dealt. And that wasn't a very good hand. Normally, Lee, I don't like to give guys excuses, that, you know, the idea that, oh, you can't win with that organization. He had 4 years, Lee. He had four. And the last three were terrible. But I think there's reason to believe that this is going to be a different Todd Bowles this time around.
Well, I've noticed something in the past day or so doing research. If you're part of a certain clique in the NFL, you can do no wrong with that clique. They will defend you to the ends of the earth. And I'll give you two examples, both with Tampa connections. I remember when lousy Lovie Smith got canned, the Dungy clan, all the Dungy files in the NFL, and there's many, man, did they circle the wagons for that guy. Oh, he was a victim. He got backstabbed, this, that. Quiet. He sucked. Don't make any excuses. I'm hearing the very same stuff about Todd Bowles and the Jets. All these Parcells guys, they're Parcells guys. They're also Belichick guys, same branch of the tree. They're in the media, Tannenbaum, Michael Lombardi. Number one, those guys have very little, if not no respect for Bruce Arians. Number two, to listen to these guys, Todd Bowles was a martyr at New York. He was a martyr. Tannenbaum went on Adam Schein's show last week, his SiriusXM NFL, not NFL radio, SiriusXM show, and had the audacity to say he thinks the Bucs will be better with Bowles. These guys have no respect for Arians. They think Arians is basically just a cartoon character. And it's like, it just amazes me. Now, if Bowles never worked for Mike Tannenbaum and never worked for Bill Parcells, would they be saying the same stuff about him? I don't know. It just dawned on me today, you know, when I heard some of these interviews, that if you belong to a certain clique in the NFL, they will defend you till the end of time. These same Parcells / Belichick guys, you always hear them making excuses for Josh McDaniels. He was horrible in Denver. Horrible. But this guy's the next Bill Walsh if you listen to him. So I've learned that today. You belong to a certain clique, you can do no wrong.
Steve, let me interject right here, right now. This must be said. Lee, I've been doing this podcast with you for 6 years. That is one of the smartest rants that I ever heard you say on this program. Outstanding points from left to right. Todd Bowles has a lot to prove, Steve. Expectations are high. Brady's not going to be around. If he's here for 4 or 5 years, Brady ain't going to be here for most of that. I think Lee just made a bunch of very smart points about that click. So you take it with a little bit of grain of salt. Now, Lee, I'll say this. Joel Glazer is also kind of convinced those 4 years come with an asterisk. He is, or they want to hire him. The Glazers would not have signed off on Todd Bowles. But, Lee, I got to give you credit. That was a hell of a speech you just made.
Oh, thank you. I didn't think it was that meritorious.
Steve, it cuts through all the Bowles mania. I'm not saying he's not going to be successful, Steve.
Same here.
And you're not saying that either.
You know, I like Todd. I don't know him that well, but from, you know, little interaction I've had with him, he seems like a really good guy, and I hope he does well. Of course I hope he does well. I think he's a good coach. I don't know about head coach. He's certainly a very good coordinator. We saw with our own eyes what they did 2 years ago, and we sort of saw last year with all those injuries, and he kind of patched things together to have a decent defense. But I don't think it's unfair to say the jury is still out on Todd Bowles. But what bothers me is the Parcells / Belichick guys out there that work in the media. You know, he'll be okay. You know, he's working for a general manager now. He had no general manager with the Jets. You try winning up there in New York with McCanahan, and it's like, whoa, you know. Anybody else?
I'm not going there. Steve, sometimes guys are better the second time around. I mean, look at Belichick. Yeah. I mean, there's only one Belichick, but, you know, he wasn't successful, particularly in Cleveland. He was not, but I guess he showed enough that they were going to give him a second chance. But, Steve, also, it has to be pointed out, sometimes a guy's a hell of a coordinator. Now, I'm talking about you, Wade Phillips, and he ends up being a mediocre head coach. That happens too, Steve.
Yeah, Sage, on that front, you know, you mentioned Dirk Cutter to start the podcast early on, and I think if you sort of look at the two of them, Dirk Cutter didn't get a fourth year. Did anyone think he deserved a fourth year? Do you think he deserved another year? Ira, you wrote that he should get fired. I know I thought that he certainly did enough to get fired. Lee, I think in retrospect, you'd probably say that too. Nobody cried that Cutter got fired. Meanwhile, he was developing a quarterback. The offense was putting up numbers. And he was working for an absolutely horrible organization and then mired in the lost decade. He didn't get a fourth year. Todd Bowles got a fourth year. And what did he do with it? He was horrible. So Dirk Cutter didn't get that fourth year, which he didn't deserve. Bowles didn't deserve it either, but he got it and he didn't make the most of it. And he was a veteran head coach at that point, 54 years old. His defense quit on him. So he's got a lot to prove. And yeah, it stings me, the people who think that Arians, they underestimate his value.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers have put out the In the Current, their look back at the season, their Hard Knock style thing for 2021. And watching that, you get a little bit more of a feel, just a little bit of how much Arians was in command of the team. Now, I understand that that's what the editors are showing you, but yeah, you know, he was the head coach. No matter what anybody wants to say, he wasn't, you know, not showing up and was mailing it in and all that. You know, the bottom line is the Buccaneers right now, Ira, right now as we speak, are on a 22-5 run. And that's the standard that Todd Bowles has to live up to. And, you know, we're not trying to set unreasonable expectations for the guy, but, you know, he's got to pull it all together in a hurry.
And let us not forget, how dare we forget, that before Arians ever coached a game in Tampa, he assembled one hell of a coaching staff, and that's on Arians.
Oh, absolutely. And Steve wrote about that this morning. You know, without light, there's no Arians. Without Arians, there's no Bowles.
Yeah, I had mentioned that in something that Jason Light had said. But anything else from Ron Wolfire? Any other insight on Bowles, the mindset, his...
He just thinks he's incredibly smart. Smart generally, football intelligence, knows how to assess talent, which he proved to Wolf during his 2 years as a scout in Green Bay, showed a different side of Todd Bowles. Thought he was a very smart player, and that translates in Wolf's mind to him in the scouting department and also as a coach. He's willing to put a little asterisk on that Jets tenure I'm not ready to do that yet until I see how Bowles does this fall. Steve, I thought you made a great suggestion. You know, one of the many criticisms leveled at Bowles in New York those final 3 years, clock management, stupid football, penalties, undisciplined. And Steve says, well, clock management, why don't you lean on Bruce Arians? That's a hell of an idea, Steve. I hope Arians goes along with that.
Well, Sage, Arians was on the radio in Arizona a couple of days ago, and he had a lot to say, an awful lot to say, and there's a lot of places to go with that. Before we talk about what he said regarding Tom Brady, he did say that Bowles, they asked him, why do you think Todd will be successful? And Arians said, he's been there and he's seen how not to do it. Now, that made me laugh because Bowles, it's not like he was watching somebody screw up. It was Bowles himself that Arians was saying, hey, he was there and he knows not, now he knows what not to do. On the flip side, I did the math, Ira. When Bowles has been coaching for Arians, those teams have won at a 65% rate, 52-29, which is an extraordinary record. So Bowles, Arians was sort of saying, Bowles has seen how to do it right from me, and he's also seen how to do it wrong from himself, and he should learn from it. And that's what everybody's banking on, whether he learns from his own mistakes and that he should be ready. But what he did say, Ira, about Tom Brady, because he was asked about Leftwich, he said that Tom Brady gets way too much credit for Byron Leftwich's work. And what is your take on the head coach coming out and saying that? Arians knows what he's saying. He's not just flying off the cuff.
First of all, Steve, didn't he say that Tom Brady and I get way too much credit? Didn't he include himself in that, or he did not?
I'll read you the quote. I'll read you the quote. What he and other outlets didn't have the exact quote, or they fudged it a little bit. Of course, Arians has said many times, I get credit, and I shouldn't. It's all Byron. But this time he said, I get credit, I'm quoting, I get credit, and Brady gets way too much credit for what Byron does with our offense.
Lee, let me put this out there simply. You might call me incredibly naive, and I might be guilty. People are going crazy. Arians taking a slap at Brady. Doesn't this feed the conspiracy theory? They didn't get along. Here's the revenge by Arians. I don't see it that way, Lee. I don't see it that way. What I see, now that Bowles has a job, and you're going to see it all season, whenever Arians is interviewed, and I don't know how many times he's going to be interviewed, because now, you know, he's just a consultant. He's not going to be yapping five times a week. But, Lee, the times that he does talk, Lee, he's got one mission on his mind. One. That's to get Leftwich a job. I think he's consumed with it. I think he's obsessed with it. And, Lee, in my opinion, that remark was 95% to promote Byron Leftwich rather than taking a shot at Brady. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I got the same reaction. And, you know, I'm pretty much over the Brady and Arians have friction. Arians is mocking Brady. If Brady gets bent out of shape for what Arians said, that says more about Brady than it does Arians. I'm sorry.
And that's a great point, Lee. It's a great point. Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. You know what to do when you have mold in that palace you own in Newport Richey there, Ira. You know what to do.
You call Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh and his people, they do a fantastic job. Come over, they'll give you an honest assessment. Call them before your insurance company. If you feel that there's any chance that you might have a problem, you need people you can trust to give you that kind of evaluation. And Florida's Elite Restoration, you can trust.
If you own a business that services clients and those clients have disasters in their home, like an air conditioning company, a plumber, a property manager, Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration wants to work with you. He wants to show you how Florida's Elite Restoration deals with companies honestly and clients and people in their home honestly with free assessments and is someone you can count on. So reach out to him and Josh will lay it out for you what Florida's Elite Restoration does for great companies all over the Bay Area as well as homeowners. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, you know, one thing, I went back and I watched the introduction of Bowles and the stepping aside of Arians and all that stuff. And one thing that I thought was either never mentioned or basically ignored, nobody really mentioned the fans. Sort of the whole theme of the day, nobody talked about the fans that I can remember. And I look at the move to Bowles as something that's not good for the fans because we're losing our great head coach. But what I look at when you're saying promoting Byron Leftwich and he's hungry for Leftwich to get that job, isn't that bad for the fans? I mean, we can't root against Leftwich as a person, but let's face it, if Leftwich walks out the door, Bowles doesn't have a seasoned coordinator ready to take the reins. I don't count Clyde Christensen at 66 years old, and he hasn't done it in ages. Tom Moore is not going to take over play calling, and they don't have a seasoned play caller. That would be a disaster for this franchise in a lot of ways, in part because Bowles never found a play caller for the Jets. So, I mean, I don't like that. What do you think? Did you get any sort of feeling that anybody cared about the fans on that day?
Well, that's interesting, Steve, because he hired Chan Gailey in 2015, and it didn't work out. They didn't have much of an offense. That first year, not bad. Fitzpatrick had a really good season until that last game at Buffalo when it was a disaster, when they had a chance to make the playoffs. But after that, that offense went nowhere. So I understand Steve's point. Lee, you have to put yourself in Arian's mindset. In his mind, his legacy, which he cares about, is not his record, not going to the Hall of Fame. Otherwise, he'd still be coaching this team that has a really good chance to get to another Super Bowl. It's the promotion of his assistant coaches, the tree. That's what he thinks about, Lee. I mean, that's genuine. It's genuine because he's thinking like that for the last 10 years. He didn't just come up with this yesterday. He's got a history, and it's not fake, and everybody knows it. This is what the guy thinks about. Now, Lee, what it means to the fans, well, in 2015, Bowles had never been a head coach. He knows more people now than he did back then. We don't know if he has somebody in mind, should Leftwich leave. Lee, they promoted Clyde Christensen once. That didn't work out. So that ain't going to happen again under the Glazer watch. That ain't happening. But as far as Arians is concerned, Lee, he's obsessed. Now, that's a strong word. I'm going to use it again. He's obsessed with Byron Leftwich leaving the nest and doing his own thing. I'm not convinced Byron Leftwich would be successful, Lee. Neither are you. And so he's not looking at it from a fan perspective in that regard. He's not.
I like that Steve brought this up. I wasn't thinking of the fans either. I was thinking of the team. You know, I kept hearing it. You know, it was like they're almost trying to push Leftwich out the door. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you guys want? The only thing I could think of in the big picture, and I don't know if this is going to happen, I wouldn't bank on it, is that if Brady decides to play a few more years, he will get to handpick his coordinator. Whether it's Bill O'Brien, whomever, he gets to handpick the coordinator. Clyde Christensen, whoever that may be. And, you know, you talk about redeeming yourself as a coach. Clyde Christensen's night and day different than what he was here, what he was like before he was here his first time. And I think we could point to why. Look who the head coach was. Dungy believed in running. Run, 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 run. This is the way we do it in Pittsburgh, even though it was a lie. And so Christensen was just following orders. Remember Dirk Cutter when Dirk Cutter was here? He first got the job with Lovey. Cutter came right out and said it. Lovey wants to run the ball. He's the head coach. And they ran the ball. Yeah.
Ira, what do you think about the Blaine Gabbert re-signing and the signing of Keanu Neal, who is a hard-hitting safety, a former first-round pick, a Pro Bowler in 2017 with the Falcons. Then he got into injury issues, but he's been back to his strong tackling. They sort of moved him around a little bit at in Dallas, although Dan Quinn, the coordinator there, who was his coach in Atlanta, I read a quote from him last year that said, well, in Atlanta, he was really a linebacker. We just called him a safety. He didn't know it. We just said, hey, you're a safety doing this. anyway, the point is that this is a big name signing, and it creates a lot more competition back there.
Well, Gabbert first, I'm a little surprised. You know, with Arians kind of out of the way now. He's the only guy I ever heard talk up Blaine Gabbert in the organization, Lee. I mean, you know, what's Light going to say? We don't want Blaine Gabbert? He's not going to kill the guy because he knows what Arians thinks of him. Maybe he'll be training camp fodder. Lee, I'm going to say this before you, and I think I know your mind well enough. If Gabbert's the backup and Trask isn't dressing, we got a problem.
You know, I was going to ask you about that. What does that say about Trask? that they brought back both Griffin and Gabbert.
To me, Trask got to win the number two job. I'm sorry. I got to see the kid, you know, maybe in garbage time. I want to see the kid, you know, with the way the Bucks score points. You know, there's three or four games a year that get out of hand in the fourth quarter when you can tell Brady to take a seat, whether he wants to or not. You're the head coach. Put him on the sidelines with a 27-point lead with 11 minutes left. I want to see a little bit of Kyle Trask over here, Lee. I've seen enough of Blaine Gabbert. I'm sorry. Keanu Neal was a sneaky signing, Lee. I remember him with the Falcons, and he was a damn good player, Lee.
Yeah, he was a damn good player.
His specialty was his aggression as a hitter. You know, he was, you know, he ain't Ronnie Lott, or he ain't Ed Reed as a, you know, a roving safety. But he hit, and he hit within the rules, and he was effective. Then I guess he's had a bunch of injuries. Lee, all of a sudden, you know, losing Whitehead, and all of a sudden the safety room doesn't look so bad. Winfield's a starter. Ryan's versatile. Probably play nickel. You got Edwards. Now you got Neal. I'm not anointing Neal as an automatic starter, but that is a smart pickup at a very reasonable price.
Do you think that, money-wise, and I'm not talking position, but money-wise, did that spell the end of Ndamukong Suh?
No, I don't think so. No. Okay. I think Bowles wants Suh back. I think Suh wants Bowles back. And I think it's just a matter of settling on a dollar amount. If Bowles wants Suh as much as I think he does, they're going to get that done.
Okay.
Sage, before I dive into a little bit more on Neal, a quick beer alert. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Try the Bromosa this weekend. It's in Publix. It's at a lot of fine retailers. Bromosa Tangerine IPA. It's their top seller. It's amazing. And just go for it. We all love it. BigStormBrewery.com. Punch in your zip code. You'll find out where to get Big Storm Beer. And great chance you'll find Bromosa there. So many other varieties as well. Here's the thing with Neal. He's a starting caliber player, and he really hasn't been injured the last 2 years. So this is a guy who's a bit of a tackling machine. He's more in the Jordan Whitehead mold. He may be better in coverage than Whitehead, and he's a starter. This guy's a starting caliber player, and I have a feeling that he probably wouldn't have signed here if they didn't say, hey, there's a great chance you'll be plugging right in for Whitehead and coming downhill and playing in the box, and we're committed to stopping the run, and you see how we play, and we'll use you different ways. So if he, and he may not be named the starter, but if he's the likely starter, then all of a sudden we have competition at cornerback that we've never had before, because Logan Ryan can play nickel, and that means Sean Murphy Bunting, who's the normal nickel, well, then he's not going to play full-time. And all of a sudden, you got four guys competing for three jobs instead of three guys competing for three jobs. And then there's Mike Edwards out there who, you know, maybe they don't feel as highly about him as you thought last week, Ira. What do you have to say about all that, guys?
Well, I'll tell you this, Steve. In the scenario that you depicted, Neal earns a starting job and Ryan's on the field 70% of the time. And you got Winfield out there. Steve, you know what that does? That means you got some really good tacklers that can really support the run defense from the secondary. And, Lee, we saw the rushing defense. It was still good to very good. But, Lee, down the stretch, maybe not as good as we thought it should be down the stretch.
I agree.
And Ryan's a tackling machine, as Steve pointed out. Neal's strength is against the run, I believe. Winfield's a pretty short tackler. All of a sudden, Lee, that secondary could really be a big factor in the rush defense.
I think I speak for a lot of Bucks fans when I say that Rams playoff game, the tackling from the secondary, not counting Winfield, of course, the tackling from the secondary was very poor in that game. Very poor.
Certainly not at an NFC playoff level, you know, a Super Bowl level that you need in January. Not even close. Ira, the contract by Neal, just to touch on Lee's point about and question about Suh, the contract for the Neal at Spotrac.com says he's only going to earn $1.2 million this year, which is extraordinary. I mean, after the 2020 season, the buzz in Atlanta was they were thinking about franchising him at safety, and then they didn't do that, and he went to Dallas for $5 million a year or so. And I don't know if Tom Brady called this guy, if the story is going to come out, or this was a Todd Bowles special saying, let's get this guy and see if we can sell him on winning a Super Bowl. But to get that caliber player, a former first-round pick who's still 26 years old, pro bowler, healthy, for $1.2 million, you have to wonder what's going on, or are they just that good in the Bucs front office at this point?
I don't want to throw a damper on this, but we are realistic on this podcast, unlike some of the other podcasts that are kind of Bucs-centric. We don't always drink the Kool-Aid. We've proven that with our remarks about Todd Bowles. While everybody has got Bowles going 14-3 in year one, we're saying, hold on a minute. I'll say this, Lee. I think it's a sharp, under-the-radar move. But, Lee, maybe he's not the same player that he was in Atlanta. And the fact that he was still available into April, that tells you that, you know, it's not a yellow flag. But, you know, we can't go crazy that they stole the guy the third day of free agency. He was still out there, Lee. Still out there.
He's got a name. People recognize the name, you know. Maybe it was a savvy move. We shall see. I got to ask you guys this about Bowles. Is it a little too smooth that Bowles, snap of a finger, got a phone call? Hey, you're the new head coach. Okay, great. Let's go to work. The reason why I ask that is, wasn't there any type of negotiation like, hey, the guys I want to get as coordinators, they might need a raise. What are you going to do? You know, it just seemed like it was overly smooth. Something about that just seems like there was more at work behind the scenes than what's being let on.
You know, Lee, I think you make an interesting point. Steve, am I crazy that the first call to Bowles maybe should have been from Jason Light or a Glazer and not the guy that he's replacing? I mean, should Arians handpick a successor? And is that in effect what happened, Steve? I mean, that's kind of not the way it's done in the NFL.
No, it's definitely not the way it's done, but it's such a unique situation. Nothing about this is the way it's done in the NFL. I could understand Arians and Glazer and Light agreeing to this and getting the thumbs up from the NFL and Arians saying, let me call my buddy Todd and let me break him the good news. I could see that, you know, as the formality of who calls him first. So, but it is extra smooth. But of course, I mean, Todd Bowles, if you're going to balk it or even just sort of try to play games with getting a job to coach Tom Brady and a team that went 13-4 and Arians calls you up and says, hey, they want to give you a 5-year contract. You want to take over for me tomorrow? I don't know. I don't know how much he would push back.
You know, I'm waiting for you to offer me that 5-year deal to replace you, Isbits. I'm still waiting. I'll take a 1-year deal. 1 year. Come on.
All right, I'm going to hire Blaine Gabbert to replace you. Don't worry about it. All right, Sage, look, we've got a lot to talk about in a lot of different areas. On the next podcast, we're going to dive into the draft, less on a player level since we're a few weeks out, but more on a where the Bucks should go level and priorities and that sort of thing. And Ira, you avoided my question before we get out of here. You avoided my question on the diet. You got to give us an update.
Well, I use the public scale because the scale of my house is like 5 pounds off in my favor. So I don't want to get waylaid by that and have a false feeling of optimism, Lee. I'm using the public scale, the same one. So if it's off, at least it's off in the same direction. Now, Lee, I got my treadmill test at the end of the month, my annual treadmill test. So when I walk in there, the first thing they do is weigh me. And Lee, normally, you know, I'm all upset. I take my sneakers off. I hand over my cell phone, my bulging George Costanza wallet. I give to the receptionist before I step on that scale. Lee, I'm going in there proud as punch because I think I'm going to be down 5 to 7 pounds from the last time I was in that cardiologist's office. And I'm going to be feeling good right up to the moment they press the button on that freaking treadmill, Lee.
And takes off his sneakers. Wow.
Every little bit of it, gentlemen.
Ira doesn't drink a glass of water for 20 hours. He's in his Speedo. He's weighing in. And he's telling the nurse you're wrong. It's 48 1/4, not 48 3/4. You're wrong. As you told us in previous years, Ira, when you finish that treadmill test, you get dressed, you head out, and you go right to Burger King.
Extra fries, please. Extra.
Sage, a Big Storm beer. You can head to the Big Storm tap rooms. BigStormBrewery.com is where the place to go to see all the Big Storm beers and find out where it's sold near you. Punch in your zip code. Florida'sElite Restoration.com, as we heard all about them. That's your first stop. Bookmark it and call them 24/7 if you have any sort of disaster in your home, mold, fire, wind. And the GM, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, Sean Sullivan, he's ready to help you with any vehicle purchase, period. Give you that Ira Kaufman discount at Bill Curry Ford. Just get to BillCurryFord.com. It's so easy to use. You can build your own vehicle, order it, no deposit. Call Sean, get an extra discount. It's just so easy. They've made it so easy in so many ways. Bill Curry Ford. All right, Sage, we're going to see you later. And we thank everybody who subscribes on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean. Now, of course, Ira, you are the league leader everywhere, and we're proud of you.